People living in tents along Benjamin Franklin Parkway and farther north on Ridge Avenue face a third and likely final deadline to leave tomorrow morning. The three-month-long protest against homelessness cast a spotlight on the lack of affordable housing and extreme poverty faced by roughly 5,000 city residents who experience homelessness each year. WHYY's Susan Phillips reports on one solution where dozens of single moms and their kids are squatting in vacant federal housing sites.
On a narrow one-way street in North Philadelphia, a mother sits on the stoop of a typical red brick row house as her pigtailed little girl plays on the sidewalk.
So when I first came into this house, the look on my face was pretty like a surprise face like this.
Her eyes and her mouth are wide open.
And then my mom showed me my room, and I was happy, but soon I was kind of tired.
That's 7-year-old Diani and her mother, Sierra. Those aren't their real names. We're protecting their identities because after 4 years of living in shelters and on the streets, Sierra moved into a boarded-up and empty house belonging to the Philadelphia Housing Authority.
Mom, what you cooking tonight?
Inside the tidy 2-bedroom house with linoleum floors is a donated couch covered in brightly colored fabrics. Plastic flowers from the dollar store are arranged on a side table. Found portraits of Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela hang on the wall. A fan blows to cool off in the humid August heat.
Yeah, but at night when I'm hot, I just lift this up and put the fan right here.
Sierra decorated the walls with things she found in the basement, including several women's straw hats.
A lot of the stuff is recycled, and I didn't want it.
Oh, the hats were here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're nice hats.
I didn't want it to go to waste. It was beautiful. I said, why not?
Yeah.
Sierra is one of about a dozen mothers now squatting PHA housing with their children. It's illegal, and they could be evicted at any time. But like a lot of residents of the encampments, Sierra is frustrated by the amount of time spent waiting for subsidized PHA housing. She's been on the list for 8 years. She tears up talking about it.
Probably this was the wrong way about going away things, but at the end of the day, my daughter is safe and sound, and she's with me, and she's happy. That means everything to me.
7-year-old Diani, who until now has lived with her godmother, becomes quiet listening to her mother talk.
I feel like I wished that I could help her. And basically, like, I wanted to help her. And now that she got her place, I'm happy for her.
The organizers of the homeless encampment who helped Sierra and Diani move into this house say the Philadelphia Housing Authority is boarding up perfectly good row homes to sell them off to developers. This drives gentrification, and there's fewer and fewer places for those in extreme poverty to live. The average median income for this North Philadelphia neighborhood is about $20,000 for a family of four.
You're paying for rodents to live in these houses. They're paying for animals to live in these houses, mice and rats. That's what's living in these properties, not regular people.
But the Philadelphia Housing Authority says the squatted houses are on the list for upgrades and that mothers like Sierra have jumped the queue, a line that includes 47,000 people, and they haven't taken any new applicants since 2013. The agency's CEO, Kelvin Jeremiah, says selling off some of those PHA houses has raised $20 million, which gets funneled back into affordable housing.
So folks are calling upon PHA to make units available, and I'm asking where, with what resources? Just imagine if it cost us $250,000 to $300,000 to build one unit, imagine how much it will cost to build 47,000. PHA does not print money.
PHA has agreed to make 62 homes available to nonprofits. And Jeremiah says he won't kick out people like Sierra for now. Sierra has waited for a PHA home since she gave birth to Diani 7 years ago, when she was still a teenager. Her own mother, also a single mom, died when Sierra was just 17. The loss of her mom left her grief-stricken, frightened, and alone. She lived with a sister, then an aunt. But there wasn't always enough room in the house for a teenage mom and her baby. The mother of a friend, who Sierra calls her godmother, agreed to keep Dayani. And Sierra began her journey through the shelter system.
You lose it all out there, tell you the truth. I lost it all. I became very miserable. I was drained out there, drained.
The 26-year-old started her first job in January, which she lost due to the pandemic.
That was a blessing for me, too, because I never had a job a day in my life.
For the poorest millennials, this is not unusual. Dennis Culhane is a University of Pennsylvania professor whose research focuses on homelessness. He says today's housing crisis actually began in the 1980s as the late baby boomers came of age and there just weren't enough jobs to go around. Housing costs rose, and those hurt the most were Black residents. But the Great Recession has added a new cohort to the homeless population, primarily Black people of Sierra's generation.
So there is a definite spike associated with the Great Recession, which once again, it coincided with an increase in population that was coming of adult age. And there was this deep recession, and a lot of folks never got into the labor market.
Culhane says strong research shows if someone doesn't have a steady job by the age of 25, it's unlikely they ever will. He worries the pandemic could cause another spike in homelessness among today's most vulnerable young people. Sierra says some people do need more help than others.
Some people need that first push. You know how you want to swing, you don't know how to swing. Some people need that first push to get them started. Like, because I know I do. Like, I never saw anybody homeless growing up, really. I never saw none of this.
Sierra says after years of shelter living, chasing one program after another that never seemed to get her on her feet, the encampment on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway really gave her the boost she needed.
I actually think it was amazing. I thank God for the people out there in that camp because at the end of the day, they helped me, you know, live life a little bit more easier.
With a key that she can use to lock the door behind her, Sierra says she wants to use the time to get in as many good night sleeps as she can and look for a job. Susan Phillips, WHYY News.